Good morning, everyone. Today is March 5th, 2021, and this is the Board of Adjustments meeting. We are here today, some of us on the board appearing in person at the Miami Beach Convention Center, and other of us appearing remotely through Zoom due to the pandemic. We hope everyone is safe and healthy out there, and we look forward to a good and swift meeting today. With that being said, let's go ahead and call attendance. Mr. Orlowski?
Present.
Mr. Goldberg?
Present.
Commissioner Malakoff?
Present.
Mr. Acion?
Present.
And Mr. Cement?
Present.
Just so everyone understands and my board understands, Mr. Barron is no longer on the board. He has moved outside of Miami Beach and tendered his resignation to the city from between last meeting and this meeting. With that being said, do I have an approval of the minutes from last meeting?
So move, Goldberg.
Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Do I have a second?
Second, Cement. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Cement. Do we have any updates from the city attorney?
No, sir.
Thank you very much. And Mr. City Attorney, as we've been doing remotely in our past meetings, I believe we won't be swearing in the public. We'll swear them in pursuant to the application.
Correct.
Okay. Having seen no requests for continuance, no requests for extension, no discussion items, no progress report, no modifications of previously approved board order, no continue items, no opening continued items, I would like to move on to new applications. Is that correct, Mr. Williams?
Correct.
Okay, great. Can you please call the application, Mr. Williams?
So this is file ZBA 20-0124, 1427 Alton Road. The applicant, Care Resource Community Health Centers, Inc., has submitted an application requesting variances related to the separation of a proposed pharmacy. Specifically, the applicant is requesting a variance to reduce by 1,036 feet the minimum distance separation of 12,000 feet between pharmacy stores to allow a pharmacy to be located within 164 feet of an existing pharmacy. The proposed pharmacy would be located on the second floor of an existing two-story commercial shopping center, and it is immediately adjacent to an existing CVS on the corner of Alton and I believe 14th Street. So based on what the applicant has submitted, staff is not supportive of the application. Staff believes that the introduction of a new pharmacy is a contradiction with the ordinance that requires a distance separation. So basically, if the applicant can substantiate their hardship or practical difficulty during their presentation, the board may choose to approve of the variance. As such, staff has attached two different draft orders, one recommending denial and one with conditions for approval if the board finds that the applicant has substantiated a hardship.
Thank you very much, Mr. Williams. From my board, do I have any disclosures?
I'm sorry, go ahead, Commissioner.
The proposer's attorneys contacted me via email, and we had an email exchange regarding what they were doing as far as finding a pharmacy that they could use, and I didn't get any response.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Malakoff. Do I have any other disclosures from the board?
I received an email. I did not respond to the email from the appellant's attorney.
And on behalf of Mr. Siegel, myself, likewise, as Mr. Goldberg, I received emails, but I did not respond. Do I have any
Same
other
here.
Disclosures?
Same here. I'm Cement.
Orlowski yeah. also received emails, didn't respond.
Thank you, Mr. Orlowski. Thank you, Mr. Cement.
If I received an email, I didn't see it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Acion. Having seen no further disclosures from the board, Mr. City Attorney, can you go ahead and swear in the applicant and anyone presenting on his or her behalf?
Sure. But just briefly, I just want to backtrack. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since the public is invited to this meeting, I just wanted to let the public know that today's meeting of the Board of Adjustment has been scheduled in the hybrid format, as the chair has indicated, with a quorum of the board physically present and remaining board members, applicants, staff, and members of the public appearing virtually via Zoom. In order to participate in today's meeting, members of the public may dial 1-877-853-5257, which is a toll-free number, or 1-301-715-8592, and enter the webinar ID, which is 828-6961-5309, or log into the Zoom app and enter the web ID number, which again is 828-6961-5309. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial *9 if they are participating by phone. Individuals who do not have access to a computer and wish to provide testimony or submit evidence in support of or in opposition to an item scheduled to be heard may appear in person at the Miami Beach Convention Center, 1901 Convention Center Drive, Washington Avenue entrance, Art Deco Room 237, Miami Beach, Florida, at which that location there will be access to a computer provided. On quasi-judicial applications, on behalf of the chair of the board, I'll swear in each presenter or a member of the public wishing to speak. I'll also ask each board member to disclose the names of any individuals who they've had ex parte communications, which we've already taken care of for this application. I'll be keeping time for today's meeting. Applicants will have 10 minutes to present, and members of the public will have 3 minutes each. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You don't have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on your behalf and not the other party, or if you're testifying as an expert, providing only scientific, technical, or otherwise specialized information or testimony in this public hearing, or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance. Expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are an architect, attorney, or employee representing an applicant or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor of or against an item, encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Lastly, before I turn it back over to the chair, I'd like to swear in staff. Mr. Williams? Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Mr. City Attorney. And now can we go ahead and bring the applicant and anyone presenting on his or her behalf and swear them in, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Larkin. Are you going to be doing the presentation on behalf of the applicant today, Mr. Larkin?
Yes, there's only one other representative from the applicant, Stuart Stein, who should be sworn in now.
Okay, great. Mr. City Attorney, can you take care of that, please?
Sure. Mr. Stein, can you turn on your camera if you have access to one?
I do, and I'm not sure where or why I don't see my the camera option. For some reason, since I use this all the time, I have audio, but I'm looking for why there does not seem to be a camera option.
On the lower left-hand side, do you see a video icon?
No, it's not there, unfortunately, and I don't understand why
on
not.
On the view screen, if you connect, if you hit... take it off of full screen. Put it on.
Okay.
Could the administrator please click on his video camera so I can click OK? Whoever's hosting.
Let me just do this and see.
Yeah.
for some reason.
Stephen, is these meetings are audio only?
No, I don't. I believe the public is audio only for these meetings. Audio. That's how we've been doing it.
Oh gosh, what is going on here?
Okay, then I'll proceed to swear in, Mr. Stein. If you could please raise your right hand. Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you will give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
The floor is yours.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Board Members. Michael Larkin, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, here representing CARE Resource. With me today is Stuart Stein from CARE Resource and my colleague Nicholas Rodriguez. PJ, can you pull up the PowerPoint presentation? Great. Can you go to the next slide? So with regard to a summary of the application, we're before you today to request a variance from the 1,200-foot spacing requirement to allow CARE Resource. Stuart, turn off your mic for a sec.
Yes.
So CARE Resource is an important South Florida nonprofit to operate a pharmacy adjacent to the existing CVS at 1421 Alton Road. On February 1st of this year, we met with the Flamingo Park Neighborhood Association to present our application and the urgent need for us to have our own pharmacy, which results in a resolution of support from this neighborhood association. During our outreach efforts, we have represented to neighbors that we will proffer a prohibition on the sale of marijuana and we will not use any signage at this location. We're willing and able to make those proffers today and they will become conditions in any order that you all would approve. Next slide. This is the resolution of support from the Flamingo Park Neighborhood Association, simply stating that we presented to them and they are in complete support of this application. Next slide. So CARE Resource is a tax-exempt nonprofit that provides high-quality, affordable health care to over 1.5 million Miami-Dade County residents, including low-income, uninsured, and underinsured people. CARE Resource operates four federally qualified health centers in Miami-Dade County, including one in Miami Beach at 1680 Michigan Avenue. If you all don't know where that is, that's where Mr. 01 Pizza is located in the ground floor. That's a significant landmark. this location provides affordable health care to members of the Miami Beach community. In 2020, the Miami Beach Clinic served 3,100 patients over 12,000 visits. And of those 3,100 patients who visited in 2020, the majority, about 2,200, were Miami Beach residents. CARE Resource, I know you all have probably heard of them, was founded in the 1980s. In response to the AIDS epidemic and became known as a powerful ally for the gay community. Over the years, it has fostered a healthy relationship with the city and was named a community partner by the City Commission furthering LGBT initiatives, which is essential for maintaining the city's perfect score on the Human Rights Campaign's annual Municipal Equality Index. Next slide. For over 32 years, CARE Resource has been at the forefront of community health initiatives in the city by hosting well-known community events, such as the annual AIDS Walk that attracts visitors and shines a positive light on our city. Through proclamations, the city has designated certain dates in April as AIDS Walk Miami Day, demonstrating the long-standing relationship between CARE Resource and the city. At the end of this presentation, Stuart Stein will discuss what a federally qualified health center means for patients and why changes in the way pharmaceuticals are distributed to these health clinics is driving an urgent need for the requested variance. Next slide. CARE Resource is also known for its annual White Party, which at one time was held in our city, but is now held annually at Vizcaya. The White Party has become one of the most successful and iconic South Florida fundraising events, cementing CARE Resource as a South Florida institution. Over the years, CARE Resource has been involved in all sorts of community health initiatives, providing free pediatric care, involving itself in low-income housing initiatives, and remaining true to its roots in providing access to free rapid HIV testing. Overall, CARE Resource is an immensely important South Florida nonprofit due to its extensive community and charitable healthcare initiatives. CARE Resource has delivered for millions who rely on it for healthcare, and today CARE Resource needs help from the very community it serves in order to keep its door open to all who need them. Next slide. Here, the reason CARE Resource needs a pharmacy and the requested variance has to do with technical aspects of a federal 340B drug discount program. Since most of us are not familiar with this program, I'd like just to take some time to give you some basic definitions. So the 340B program is a federal government program under which pharmaceutical manufacturers provide outpatient medications to covered entities at significantly reduced prices. A covered entity is certain hospitals and federally funded healthcare providers that are eligible to receive discounted medications under this program. The next definition, the FQHC, is a community-based healthcare provider, such as Care Resource. That's a type of covered entity. Next is contract pharmacy. That's like Walgreens or CVS that dispenses 340B medications on behalf of a FQHC. This is what Care Resource has done now for a number of years. The last definition is the licensed pharmacy operated by a covered entity. This is our goal today, is what we hope to achieve. Next slide. So the 340B program is a complex federal regulatory scheme, and the details of how it operates are far beyond the scope of this presentation. However, the basic mechanics are important to understand so that the urgent need for this proposed in-house accessory pharmacy can be understood. Generally, the 340B program allows pharmaceutical manufacturers to provide discounted medications to Care Resource for distribution to patients. The Federal Qualified Health Center sees both insured and uninsured patients. For the insured patients, the FQHC is reimbursed by insurance companies at negotiated rates. The difference between the discounted price of the medication and the negotiated insurance payout is the profit that is supposed to be realized by the FQHC to be used toward charitable care initiatives. The idea is that the FQHC can stretch scarce federal resources as far as possible to help the most people. As the FQHC that provides substantial health care to vulnerable populations, Care Resource depends upon these 340B revenues. In fact, they make up over 80% of Care Resource's revenue and therefore funds most of its initiatives. However, and this is the very most important point, in 2018, certain pharmaceutical manufacturers began withholding 340B discounted medications from FQHCs like Care Resource that do not have their own in-house pharmacies due to changes in the way that these manufacturers interpret federal regulations. The details of this are complex and outside the scope of the presentation, but we did send a letter to you all earlier this week as a sample from Eli Lilly to Care Resource stating just that, that they were not going to provide these 340B discount medications any further. So what is important to note is that Care Resource is heavily reliant on revenues from the 340B program. Today, the manufacturers that have withheld 340B discounted medication represent only a portion of the discounted medications Care Resource receives. However, if other manufacturers follow suit, which is expected, Care Resource cannot receive these medications, the loss of revenues would be catastrophic to Care Resource. Next slide. So because Care Resource needs to keep receiving 340B discounted medication to preserve its existence, it needs an in-house pharmacy associated with its existing office at 1680 Michigan Avenue. However, as you all know, state law requires that pharmacies and marijuana dispensaries be treated equally. And the city has adopted a regulatory scheme for marijuana dispensaries involving certain sub-districts where only pharmacies and dispensaries can be located within the city. Care Resource's existing office is not within these sub-districts, so Care Resource cannot open a pharmacy adjacent to its existing office as it initially intended. So the next best thing is an in-house pharmacy located in close proximity to the office at 1680 Michigan Avenue that can be used to service Care Resource's patients, primarily by delivery directly to the office from the pharmacy, which hopefully will be located here at 1427 Alton. Next slide. So as you can see, Care Resource is proposing a small in-house accessory pharmacy at 1427 Alton Road to provide medication for its patients from its existing clinic at 1680 Michigan. The property where the proposed pharmacy will be located is within the CD2 zoning district, within one of six sub-areas where pharmacies are permitted in the city, specifically in the area known as sub-area 2 along Alton Road between 13th and 16th Streets. Next slide. So to open at this location, we must seek a variance from the 1,200-foot spacing requirement to permit this proposed in-house accessory pharmacy to be located just north of the existing CVS at Alton Road. Care Resources searched up and down this corridor and determined this is the best available location for the proposed pharmacy based on its proximity to the office at 1680 Michigan. And please recall that the only reason the spacing requirement applies to pharmacies is that state law mandates that any regulation that a city would adopt for a dispensary must be equally applied to a pharmacy. Next slide. with regard to the hardship criteria, the applicant satisfies the required hardship criteria for variances based upon the unique need for the pharmacy and the existing CVS at 1421 Alton Road, which is actually located within 1,200 feet of all properties within the sub-area where pharmacies are permitted. The need for the variance stems from the changes made by pharmaceutical manufacturers and not by any action of the applicant. Approval of the requested variance does not grant any special privileges not shared by others in the same zoning district, as commercial uses that are analogous to pharmacies are permitted in the CD2 district, and the proposed pharmacy is intended only to serve care resource patients, not walk-in members of the public. A literal interpretation of the code deprives care resource of the ability to operate an in-house accessory pharmacy, which it urgently needs to secure its future ability to serve vulnerable and underserved communities. The variance is minimal, as care resource will not use signage and intends to only provide pharmacy service to its own patients. In truth, no one will even realize that the pharmacy is there, located on the second floor of this building. Lastly, granting the variance is consistent with the intent and purpose of the code, as the intent of the spacing requirements prevent an unreasonable concentration of dispensaries or pharmacy stores like CVS and Walgreens, which this type of pharmacy is not. Next slide. So as mentioned, Care Resource only intends to dispense medications to patients from its own clinic. In fact, Care Resource intends to discourage non-patients from using the pharmacy or even knowing it is there. As a result, Care Resource does not intend to use any signage or advertising, and that's something that we can proffer today. The majority of medication for this proposed pharmacy will be delivered directly to patients at the clinic at 1680 Michigan or to the patient's preferred delivery address. The only reason the proposed pharmacy has a walk-in component is to comply with state law that requires pharmacy stores to have a patient waiting area. The only time a patient would actually visit this proposed pharmacy is if they insist or an insurance company website directs them to the pharmacy, which is not expected to occur frequently. Importantly, Care Resource will never dispense marijuana from this location, regardless of any regulatory changes now or in the future. We are proffering this condition today to ensure this commitment is documented, honored, and placed within the order. As part of its business tax receipt application, Care Resource will have to comply with all the stringent requirements applicable to dispensaries, including a security plan, an operations plan, and a business plan. Ultimately, Care Resource intends to operate a non-intrusive, discreet pharmacy that is completely compatible with the neighborhood and distinguishable from a typical CVS or Walgreens. There'll be no grocery or convenience store element, there'll be no alcohol sales, no marijuana sales, and the majority of patients will never even go to the proposed pharmacy. Next slide.
Mr. Chair, we've reached 10 minutes if you want to.
Mr. Larkin, how much longer do you have in the presentation?
Just a minute, sir.
Okay, let's go ahead and give him two more minutes, Mr. City Attorney.
Thank you.
Please proceed. Please proceed, Mr. Larkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two more slides. So with regard to this proposed floor plan, as you can see, the majority of the proposed pharmacy will be dedicated to preparing medications for delivery to the office of 1680 Michigan and directly to patients. The proposed size of 776 square feet is almost 10 times smaller than the maximum permitted location on the second story of the shopping center. Next slide. So this is our proposed condition of approval that we would ask to be integrated into any order approving this variance request. In addition, we would also proffer that the applicant shall seek no signage permits at this location. Finally, Mr. Chairman, is going to turn it over to Stuart Stein for some brief remarks.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Board, for taking the time to listen to us and to our urgent need. I just wanted to highlight the number 80% of our revenues. That's testimony to the success of the 340B statute, which was adopted to achieve exactly that. But it also makes us extremely vulnerable being able to maintain the revenues from this statute. With these revenues are what allows us to serve the underserved and uninsured community. If these revenues are threatened and go away, we cannot continue doing the valuable work that we do in the community. The program is under attack. The program is under attack by Big Pharma. And just yesterday, we came to learn the program is under attack now by one of the largest pharmacy benefit managers that manage pharmaceutical claims for large insurance companies. Five big pharma companies have taken decisions that are impacting us at this moment, cutting off our ability to purchase using the contract pharmacy model we have used from day one to purchase 340B discounted medications from them, thus being unable to serve those patients that were using these medications and unable to generate the revenues that were being generated across our contract pharmacy network from the filling of these medications. The only action we can take it to ensure our survival and to ensure our ability to continue to provide for the underserved, uninsured, and vulnerable members of our community is to have this satellite pharmacy location where we will be able to control the operation and be able to respond to changes in what the different players in the contract pharmacy model are able to do and not do. It's absolutely vital. And I thank you for taking the time to listen to us. And that's what I would like. That's all I have to say.
Great. Thank you, Stuart. And so in closing, Mr. Chairman and board members, we respectfully request that you all grant the variance. And I'm here, as is Stuart, for any questions that you or the board members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Larkin. Thank you, Mr. Stein. Commissioner Malakoff, I see that you have your hand raised. Please proceed.
Very much, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the legal department. And Steve, that's you.
Okay.
Can there be a separate category for accessory pharmacy? An accessory pharmacy cannot have retail products. It cannot, in other words, it cannot have alcohol, et cetera, et cetera. All the different details that Mr. Larkin gave, and that way it could be opened on the second floor with only taking care of care resource, as opposed to a full licensed pharmacy.
Yes, I believe that was part of the proffer that Mr. Larkin and I had discussed pre-hearing, and certainly that can be a condition that you put into your order, into the variance.
Right, I understand that, and that's good. But I'm trying to find out legally. We don't want this to open a Pandora's box. We don't want other pharmacies opening, we don't want other medical marijuana places opening close to a pharmacy and saying, well, you made this exception for 1427 Alton. So make it for us. I don't want to open that box because the 1,200 feet is important. But this is a special case. It's for a very important nonprofit in our community. So I would be in favor of allowing this, but can we have a special category instead of calling it a pharmacy and calling it an accessory pharmacy with all the different disclaimers that Mr. Larkin gave?
I would have to check with the planning director over that, because I don't know that we can just create new categories here today. But certainly, again, I would go back to it can be a condition of the variance. And certainly if anyone had a similar situation like a nonprofit, this might set a precedent for that. You're correct. But this is not from the way the operation man has been described. It's not a full-blown pharmacy. It's not what we would normally associate with a CVS, Walgreens, or a pharmacy of that, of those caliber. This is really just to service their patients to permit the federal funding. So it's a very limited exception.
Mr. Chairman, can I further respond to Commissioner Malakoff's question?
Sure. I believe Mr. Williams also wanted to chime in.
Staff goes
first.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I wanted to, Steve, you're correct. That would require a code amendment, but also if we were to do something like that, a carve out for a specific type of pharmacy, we would have to do the same thing for medical cannabis treatment centers. And also the code defines pharmacy as just the dispensing of pharmaceutical drugs. So what we think of in the sense of a pharmacy like a CVS, the retail component is not attached to the pharmacy in our code. currently.
To further expand on what Stephen has said, like we did explore what Commissioner Malakoff was speaking of. We talked to Carmen Sanchez, you know, who's basically second in command of the planning department, because I was saying to her, I was reasoning that, look, we're limiting ourselves so much. Do we really fall in their definition of pharmacy? And she very much tried to work with me, but in consultation with her staff, with the city attorney's office, they concluded that, you know, the definition of pharmacy is controlled by the state legislature, and we fall within that definition. But they said you're free to proffer any number of conditions that you would like to restrict the usage here to make sure that this is really a one-off. And so that's what we tried to do here. You know, we tried to say no marijuana will be sold here, which is the core of the spacing requirement, I think. And we've also said no signage. And I can go further and say there'll never be alcohol or groceries or anything else sold here. It'll strictly be what I would deem a service pharmacy for the care resource office at 1680 Michigan.
Thank you.
Commissioner Malakoff, do you have any follow-up? Otherwise, I'm going to move on to some other board members.
Move on, please.
Thank you. Mr. Acion?
Has anybody reached out to CVS and asked if there was a concern from their side?
I have not. I don't think that... The concern from CVS might be one of competition. And I think that we might, you know, some of our customers might have otherwise gone to that CVS pharmacy, but I think it represents a small drop in the bucket. I think it's probably very lucrative and well-run CVS. So, but the answer to your question, Andres, I did not reach out to the general manager there and discuss it with him.
And nobody from the city has reached out to CVS to ask if there was an issue with them?
No.
And if this pharmacy were going to be placed somewhere that it's has a legal distance from the others, have you researched as to why? I'm just curious to know why you didn't select a site that was at a legal distance from this pharmacy.
Well, this is the closest sub-district to our property at 1680 Michigan. That's where the Care Resource Clinic is. And this is the closest sub-district to that clinic. Unfortunately, the spacing requirements are expansive. And when you measure 1,200 feet in any direction from the CVS, it completely encompasses the entire sub-district.
So where would be the closest that you could legally put it today? What site would it be? I'm sure you looked at some sites. So what? How far would it be? Exactly, is there something available? Is there... is there retail that could have been selected?
If we would have tried to go any other location within the sub-district, we would have had to also have sought a spacing variance.
So the answer is no. There's no other legal place in the city, in all of South Beach, that this could have been placed?
There's not in this sub-district, which is the closest sub-district to our office at 1680 Michigan.
Okay, and it needs to be a certain distance from your office at 1680 Michigan?
Just for efficiency's sake, yes, I would say it should be as close as possible.
For efficiency to who?
For our patients, so they can receive their prescriptions in a timely way.
But you're saying that 80% of your 80% of the patients are getting them delivered, correct?
No.
So what percentage of the people are walking in to get their prescriptions from this pharmacy?
I'll probably have to defer to Stuart on that question.
Thank you, Michael. So the majority of medications are delivered. And to answer the last question, I did personally look around other, I guess, as you referred to them, Michael, sub-districts. Every district did have the same issue with the distance limitation. So we dispense two types of medications. There are medications that are called acute care, in other words, things like antibiotics, where the patient is ill, is in the office, and will be receiving medication to address a specific acute illness that they have. Those are the type of medications that the patient will have delivered to them at the office from this satellite pharmacy. Then you have chronic care medications. Those are medications that patients receive every month for things like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, that will normally be received by the patient at their designated preferred delivery address. The majority of the medications are the second, the chronic care. However, we feel, and this comes from experience in the past, is that when the patients are at the office and they are ill, it is important to be able to get those medications to the patients before they leave the office. And that is why we look for a location where we could effectively have a runner run back and forth.
Any follow-up, Mr. Osion?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Goldberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, it seems like this is a very valuable service being provided to residents of the city of Miami Beach. So if there's a way to make this work, you know, we should possibly look at that. You covered a couple questions I had with the previous board member, but I'm curious as to what's your model for your other locations? I believe you have a few other locations. And so how is this impacting them, and how are they going to resolve this issue at the other locations with the need to have an in-house pharmacy?
Is that directed to me?
It could be Mr. Larkin or Mr. Stein. Whoever would like to respond is fine.
I'll go first, just because, Michael, in the city of Miami, for instance, they don't allow medical marijuana dispensaries, so they don't really have a similar prohibition on pharmacies, or, you know, any regulation that would make sure that pharmacies had to go in particular neighborhoods in the city of Miami, where some of Care Resource had its offices. But I'm going to let Stuart further expand upon that.
Thank you. We are in the process of converting our model of contract pharmacies, which we were exclusively 100%. We are in process of turning this into a hybrid model. So, for example, in our Little Havana location, we are actively constructing and opening a pharmacy. At our Midtown and Broward locations, Walgreens has existing leases. At the conclusion of those leases, and they have already been made aware of this, we will not be renewing those leases, and we will be opening pharmacies there as well. Our goal is to be able to service as many of our own patients as possible. However, because of the geographic dispersion of our clients, we will maintain the contract pharmacy networks that we have. However, we will not be at the mercy of changes that third parties can impose on us, because we will at least have our own pharmacies that we can react and preserve our ability to service our patients. So we are actively, and that is my primary goal, what I have been hired to do for Care Resource is to open four pharmacies.
One follow-up, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. One follow-up to that. So if this variance were not to be approved, you said it would be difficult for the future success and continuation of providing this service, but would another option not be to locate another location over somewhere across the bridge? Because in your previous discussion with the previous board member, you said a majority of the prescriptions are chronic care, which are delivered to their address, and then understanding that the other portion of that is the acute care, where you need to get the medication to them as soon as possible. But if that's such a small amount and you had another location over the bridge, it would seem like you would be able to get that medication to the office. Obviously not as timely as if you had it in the location that you're proposing, but it sounds like that might still be able to work. I'm just trying to look at, you know, both options. And again, I'm on the fence. I have not made a decision. I just wanted to see how it would affect you either way. If you didn't get the variance approved, you know, that you would still be able to survive and provide the important service that you're providing to the community.
Michael, do you want me to answer that question?
Either Mr. Stein or Mr. Larkin. Either one of you would be great.
Go ahead, Stuart.
Even though the delivery of acute care medications is a smaller component of the overall total, it is nonetheless important and crucial for patients because at that moment they're ill. Not having that ability would be a major deficiency in our ability to service our patients. The other thing I do want to say is that we are servicing patients that are living on the beach. We have a fair number of patients that will ask for us to have the medications ready for them to pick up, and they will walk by the office to pick them up. Because they live on the beach, it's easier for them. That actually turns out to be easier for them than having a delivery and waiting for a courier, which would be the typical way we would deliver. So the experience that we have is that being so far away is a major gap in our ability to provide the service effectively and efficiently. So while there is some truth to what you're saying, that couldn't you just deliver from another location, it really leaves a tremendous gap, in our opinion, in the way that what our patients are expecting and what they need.
And Michael, just one last thing is that, the whole goal of the spacing requirement is to prevent this over-concentration of dispensaries. It's only because the legislature has said that pharmacies must come along for the ride that we're stuck in this situation. I can fully understand the need once the city created these zones where only dispensaries could locate and then further put a spacing requirement within the zones to prevent an over-concentration. All of that makes sense to me. But a pharmacy is vastly different than a dispensary. And especially the type of pharmacy that we intend to operate, not just by telling you that, but by proffering all these conditions of approval.
Thank you.
Mr. Cement, did you have a question?
Yes, I just had a question for staff. So based on the restrictions that the applicant put into what a proposed draft order would include, do you think that this would prevent setting any type of precedent for people to, let's say, take advantage of an approval?
So each application is reviewed independently. We look at each application based on what is submitted, not based on prior decisions of the board. But I think the conditions that they're proffering would limit the scope of the pharmacy to exactly what they're saying it is. I'm not sure if that answers your question.
That does. Thank you.
Mr. Acion, do you still have a question? Your hand's raised.
Sorry, I don't. But out of curiosity, did we send out a notice to CVS that this was happening, that this meeting was happening?
We don't send out notices to businesses. The notices are individually mailed to every property owner within 375 feet. But additionally, there is a sign posted on the site. And an ad is placed in a newspaper as well.
Got it. And out of just thinking about that scenario, don't you think that something should be changed with regards to that?
That the noticing requirements are a policy decision by the city.
No, I understand. I understand it's not your, it doesn't fall under your responsibility right now. To the other board members, I just think that kind of city that a meeting like this is going on, that it's going to could possibly directly affect the business directly next door, and that no notice is provided to the business directly next door to say, hey, this is happening. Do you want any feedback, or do you want to provide any feedback as to what you think? The property owner could be in Egypt. You know, they might not even be opening up their mail to know that this is even happening. But the business is going to be affected. The property owner is not going to be affected. And I just think that in situations like this, just like if we were going to get a variance for, you know, building a house, you're going to notify the guy to the left and the guy to the right. And I think that in this situation in businesses, I think that the businesses should be advised as well as the landowner. Just my food for thought.
And Andres, I don't agree with expansive notice or even more expansive. I think you hit the nail on the head, but I just want Stuart to talk to you about the relationship that we still maintain with CVS. It's still very helpful for CVS. Stuart, do you want to give a couple of remarks on that point?
Yes. We maintain a contract pharmacy relationship of over 50 CVS contract pharmacies.
Sorry to interrupt you. Do you have a letter from the CVS next to your property that says, hey, we don't mind, we like you guys, you know, we're cool, that you could show us?
No, we don't have that type of letter.
Okay, that's my point. And I'm just simply saying that if somebody's going to ask for a variance for a business to be built literally in the wall next to the CVS, I'm not talking about a block away. I'm talking about this is the property next door and CVS is not even notified. I think it's just weird. I mean, to me, it seems like common sense that the businesses next door should be notified, but that's it. I mean, that's just my point.
Okay.
Okay. So having seen no further question, Mr. Cement, your hands are raised again, or is that from before?
Before.
Okay. Thank you. Having seen no further questions from the board, is there anyone in the public, Mr. Williams, that's here today to comment?
I don't see any raised hands in the public.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mr. Larkin or Mr. Stein, is there any closing comments that you have? If so, I'd give you each a minute if you'd like.
I don't have anything, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stein, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, I think I'm good.
Thank you both for the presentation. Do I have a motion from the board?
Yes. I'd like to make. Okay.
I move that the variance be allowed, and that we go with the entire application and final order that follows that the staff has prepared. The variance reduced by 1,006 feet, the minimum distance separation.
Thank you, Ms. Malikoff. Staff, just for clarification purposes, so we can go ahead and bring Ms. Malikoff's motion before the board for a vote if we have a second. In the final order, is there already a condition that the applicant will not go ahead and dispense marijuana nor will provide any signage or advertising?
No, those voluntary.
Those were additional from today, correct?
So they would need to be included in the motion if that's what
Ms. Malikoff, as a friendly amendment, do you agree that your motion would include the final order that staff has provided to approve in draft form, plus the additional conditions proffered today that no marijuana will be dispersed at the pharmacy and there will be no signage or advertising?
And no alcohol and no retail products, yes.
No alcohol and no retail products. Mr. Larkin, just to be completely clear before I go ahead and see if I have a second and vote on this, have you seen the draft order from staff? And then in addition, Ms. Malikoff has now said the voluntary conditions of no marijuana, no signage, no advertising, and no alcohol or retail will go ahead and be included in the order. Is the applicant satisfied with those conditions and willing to go ahead and abide by them?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I've seen the draft order. I have no objection. And I have no objection to the conditions that Commissioner Malikoff described. We're good with all of that.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a second from the board?
Cement second.
Okay, cement second. Can we have a call to order, please?
Andres Sacion?
No.
Yahil Cement?
Yes.
Michael Goldberg?
I'm going to say yes, but I also like to just state the reason why I'm a yes vote is because I think this is an exception, them being a not-for-profit and providing a very valuable service to our community, and that is why I'm voting yes.
Joy Malakoff?
Yes, for the same reasons as Mr. Goldberg. It's extremely valuable services to the community the last 30 or 40 years.
James Orlowski?
Yes.
Richard Siegel?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-1.
I was about to say I'm going to change my vote to yes after listening to what Joy Malakoff just said.
Okay, so the motion passes 6-0.
The motion passed unanimously on behalf of the board that was here today. Thank you, Mr. Larkin, for the presentation. Thank you, Mr. Stein, for everything that you do. And we wish you all good endeavors in the business moving forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and board members. Much appreciated. Everyone
have a good day. Thank you. We very much appreciate your helping us with this problem. Thank you so much.
Please keep doing good things for the community. Okay, so having seen no appeals and no other business, am I correct, Mr. Williams, that the only matter left is adjournment?
Correct.
Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
You have a second?
Not second.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt. Thank you, Mr. Goldberg. Thank you all for appearing today, and I continue to look forward to being on the board with all of you and serving the community. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.